If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Jack Manuel here for another Brooklyn Buzz, and diving deep, not a gamer, just diving deep into Cam Thomas, and even more so Ben Simmons' latest injury update, and maybe a few little Nets stats towards the end if we have the time. But I guess the initial response to the nerve irritation injury in his back for Ben Simmons that I had was one of, you know, almost just like a irritated sigh, not just because of, you know, the fact that he's had a pretty good start to the year and the positive impact that he's had for the Nets, but also just as an Aussie as well, because this is going to be something that could affect his Olympic prospects going forward. And I also wasn't necessarily enthused, the signs weren't great that we got a big article from the New York Post's Brian Lewis and his agent basically revealing, you know, that he's day-to-day. Jacques Vaughn said that he'll be evaluated in a week. You know, he had the MRI. He's not experiencing anything similar to what he's gone through in past or what he went through last year. And this is something that the expectation is that with the proper kind of rehab, he'll be able to resume this season in a short period of time without any issue. Now, I'm not going to say I buy into that. I'm not going to say I don't buy into that. But, like, with Bennett, you just got to believe what you see. And what we saw, and it sucks that this is happening. You know, it sucks that it's happening so early in the year, you know, before the net, like 10 games or so. And you just look at the Ben Simmons injury history, and, you know, I'll just go back to, back to the start of his career. So we're going from 2017 all the way up to 2023. Sore elbow, sore ankle, enteritis, say that a couple of times, back injury, a wrist injury, illness, shoulder, back, knee, left knee, calf, knee again, back again for an extended period, knee for an extended period, back and knee, and then hip. So this just might be how Ben is now. I think we might just need to wait out the Ben Simmons experience, and maybe he just turns into an expiring contract in 24, 25, and that's just how we live with the Ben Simmons experience. And it's sad to say, because he was playing, you know, decent enough. I guess, you know, he obviously wasn't having the same forceful impact that we saw for short bursts in the preseason and maybe a game here or there, but it just shows you that Ben's body is just going to continue to fail him, and that just might be how he is and for the rest of his career, despite the fact that he got himself back, he was saying all the right things, he was doing some of the right things, but yeah, it just is what it is at the end of the day. And, you know, Jacques Vaughn was trying to be positive and joke around with him and give him all, you know, the light jests here or there, and hopefully that is something that can support Ben Simmons in a positive fashion, but yeah, I think it's just going to be his body is failing him, you know. And I think he also needs, the thing that's frustrating is the nature of the injury when it did happen. Like, it happened on like a little dinky push shot where he sort of irritated his hip. And it's just like, well, if Ben wasn't taking those shots, would that have happened? Maybe not. Maybe if he actually pushed through that initial discomfort, his body would have gotten used to the new type of discomfort that he's putting himself through by, like, finding body contact at the rim, you know, just looking for contact, because until that happens, he's gonna get these dinky little nerve injuries, discomfort injuries, and it might just be a career-long thing for him, which is disappointing for many, many reasons because of the positive impact that he's had on the floor, you know, in terms of the Nets' offense and the fast break points and all those different things. But I think I also said on Twitter, that if Spencer Dinwiddie keeps playing the way that he played the other night, then I don't see things being a drastic downgrade. If anything, Spencer Dinwiddie does everything that Ben does, except for defense, and I guess rebounding, because Ben pushes the pace a little bit in transition, but Spencer can do that. I think Spencer is a really controlled and positive player too. He's also a much better driver of the basketball. Ben drives, but he doesn't drive to score, whereas Spencer genuinely drives to score. So I think it's as simple as that. And I also want to just throw a few notes out there. This is via sort of Hoops Hype. You know, his expiring contract in 24-25 will be at $40+ million. You know, his contract includes a 15% trade kicker, apparently, according to Woj. He's the 22nd best player last year. He's now the 20th best player in the NBA this year. If Ben wasn't on this contract, we'd maybe be speaking about him a little bit differently. It's just like when James Harden started playing badly and then Ben started playing a bit better, we were like, oh, the Nets won the trade. And now the basketball gods can't give us anything good and Ben Simmons gets injured. And maybe that's just the nature of Ben Simmons going forward. But I want to get to a few questions, guys. And thank you to those that did respond. Just questions and comments. I had Cypher @Shan_Yuga asked, at what point do we consider Ben Simmons just an elite role player similar to Alex Caruso, and not a star caliber player? I personally feel that the people still advocate for Ben are doing so under the hope that he returns to the 15-16 point per game scorer he was in Philly. I think, Cypher, that guy's gone. Like, it's as simple as that. I think what we saw from this season showed us that he is an elite role player, but an elite role player that's making nigh on $40 million. So I think that when he comes back, that's probably what we're going to need to consider him. And, you know, we've got some questions also around what his role will be if and when he does come back. There's people talking about over or under how many games he's going to play. It's almost like morbid to consider some of those little possibilities. But, yeah, he's not going to be an all-star. He showed positive two-way flashes, but until he scores the basketball, he's just not going to be an all-star. He's going to average 8 to 10 points, play high-level defense, pass the ball pretty bloody well. I don't think he's ever going to be a scorer for the rest of his career. Now, maybe Ben proves me wrong and he comes back from this nerve irritation in a positive fashion, but I personally can't see that happening. Sorry, I didn't mean to insert that sigh in there, but that's just how I'm feeling about this whole Ben Simmons thing. D-Rock, Spencer McHale and Cam need the ball in their hands in order to cook. Ben and Claxton can't shoot. Ben won't look to score. He must play a secondary role, aka point forward. McHale and Cam are the future, so they should start. Bring Spencer and Ben off the bench. What say you? I don't think that's I agree with a lot of those points. I don't think Spencer should come off the bench. I think Spencer and Cam can start. I think Spencer, Cam, McHale, Cam, Jay, and Clax is a positive starting lineup. Now, DFS has had a sensational start to the year as well, so you can maybe make an argument for him, insert him over someone else. But in saying that, I don't think DFS is long for the Nets. And if we're talking about the future, then I think it has to be Cam T, Clax, and McHale. Those are your three locked-in guys. But around that, and around Ben's role in general, I think Ben does need to come off the bench when he comes back. You know, at the start of the year, we were talking about, you know, Jacques Fournier giving him the reins and the identity is being built around him. And we saw that, but now Ben's body's failing him. So now you need to earn that back and you need to prove it to us as Nets fans and the Nets coaching staff. And I hope he isn't gifted that starting role, despite the fact that he was playing pretty well. You know, I wouldn't say he was lighting things up in any sort of way, but I just honestly think that Spencer should start over him, and that's just how the things should go moving forward, because Spencer showed against the Magic how he can lead the team in a positive fashion again. There's going to be plenty of rumors around Spencer. I don't know how much of it is noise and how much of it isn't, but yeah, I think Ben off the bench, Spencer, Cam T, McHale, Cam J, Nick Claxton. There's your starting five. You can go four out. Clax is your works things well in the pick and roll, and it has nice pick and roll chemistry with the likes of McHale and is growing with Spencer too. So I think that's the starting five going forward. And Ben, when he gets back, has to earn that spot again coming off the bench. And if he doesn't like it, well, get your body right and show us you can be sustainably healthy for beyond 8-9 games. But
you know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
We got a question from Aces, who asked, should the Nets look at possible replacements for Ben Simmons in case he breaks down again, like Jaden Ivey, for example? Jaden Ivey seems like he's being pushed out of Detroit in favor of Amen Thompson. Now, look, I'd like a Jaden Ivey. I think that if you're building around like Jaden Ivey and Cam Thomas, you've got an explosive guard and a methodical scorer like Cam Thomas is. That'd be pretty bloody great. So, outside of Ben Simmons being traded, look, I think he's not long for Brooklyn. This sort of indicates that going forward, that I don't think Ben Simmons is long for Brooklyn, and his career trajectory is one that I can't necessarily predict after this latest injury. But yeah, Jaden Ivey would be a nice get, but what is Ben Simmons' value? Like, his value isn't necessarily going to get you a Jaden Ivey in return, or a Josh Giddey, or you know, Larry Markkanen, or any of these sort of guys. So I think you need to take those things into context. Maybe the Pistons are so low on Jaden Ivey and Monty Williams is that you can sneak him out and there's some three-way deals, and the Nets, the Pistons next year, you know, Jaden Ivey has a poor year and they just want Ben Simmons as that expiring sort of deal, and that looks good on their books. Maybe. But I think Ben Simmons' value from the league-wide perspective is pretty bloody low currently. Next year, once that becomes expiring, might look a little bit better. But in fact, I'll get to the rest of the questions after the break, guys, as well as a bit more Nets chat. So Fan of Sector 2814 says, this sums it up. He should come off the bench as a defensive specialist and offensive connector. Against teams like Boston and Milwaukee, he can play more, but it's time to start making plans with him in mind. Yeah, look, planning around Ben Simmons and all the chat about Ben Simmons in the offseason to start the year was all about hyping him up and saying, this is a different team with Ben Simmons on and off the floor. And so it's like, yeah, cool. But you can't build around a guy who plays 6-7 games and then is out for an extended period. 6-7-8 games. That's just not a sustainable brand of basketball / team building. So as I was sort of alluding to, I probably answered and discussed the points that Fan of Sector 2814 was sort of talking about. But you just can't build around Ben. You know, it's as simple as that. His body is failing him to the point beyond any sort of reputability. So it sucks and it seems maybe callous, but you just can't. Like, it's as simple as that. But final one was from at Nets Outlet. Is he really the engine structure for our offense, or we do give him too much credit? Because we just scored a ton against Orlando, who's known to have a good defense this year. When Cam T comes back, I think our offense will look really good and consistent again. I kind of agree. I think last night showed, and Nick probably, and Nick definitely sort of talked about that on the last pod. So, look, these are numbers based off last night, and this is via, I think, an Eric Slater article at Clutch Points. In seven games before Ben Simmons' injury, the Nets posted the league's seventh best offensive rating. His elite fast break orchestration, a main reason why, with Simmons, the Nets rank second in the NBA in fast break points, averaging 20.6 per game. Without them, they rank 22nd. Now, the three-time All-Stars adding 4.5 points per game in possession in transition this season, ranked in the 94th percentile among players per clean the glass. Now, I think that can be replaced in part by Spencer Dinwiddie. I don't think that it necessarily changes the total trajectory of the team. I think that Ben is really good at getting guys open because he is a very unique passer and very gifted passer, but I still think the Nets are going to be good enough. And I think it's more about Cam Thomas returning, as was alluded to by Nets outlet, than it is about, you know, the other guys and talking about them. So, and look, I'll get into a few numbers in a little bit. Look, Cam Thomas, his reaction to Ben's injury update, he thought it was like, he didn't know it was a back, he thought it was a hip. I don't think there's anything to really write into that. That's just sort of, you know, players just hear certain things and that's just how they react. I think it might have been taken a little bit out of context, but I want to just give this quote by Cam Thomas. He's like, he's frustrated and he's like, I was playing really well, helping the team. We were competing. What was I, number six or seven in scoring at the time? So it's obviously frustrating. But at the end of the day, everything happens for a reason. So I'm just going to try to rehab as best as I can so I can get back to the level of play I was at. That's the only thing I'm looking forward to. And look, the Nets need him sorely offensively and I can't wait to see Cam Thomas back. That's a little update for him. Didn't necessarily say the nature or grade of the strain of ankle injury that he did have. I think the Nets are probably pretty good at hiding and keeping little things to themselves. But yeah, Cam T should be back sooner rather than later, which is positive. Now, I want to end the podcast because I did a bit of a sicko deep dive into some numbers, some stats. And I want to just go through the good and the bad to start things and maybe provide a little bit of context. First, the good. Nets second in fast break points. Third in three-point percentage at 38% on the fifth most attempts over 40 a game. 8th in E field goal percentage, 55.1%, and 9th in made field goals in transition. Again, that's taking the whole season with Ben, without Ben. And also 10th in turnover percentage. So they take care of the ball pretty bloody well. And 7th in offensive rating. Now, this is currently of recording. By the time you listen to this, there could be other things that have affected that. So offensively, there's a lot of positive things. And are those things sustainable? Look, maybe the Nets shoot a little bit worse from three. Maybe those fast break points go down a little bit. But there are things that can improve that I think will balance that thing out. So maybe are the Nets a top 10 offense to end the year? I don't know, but I think that a defense should rise quite a bit. Speaking of defensively, a couple of good defensive stats. 4th in defensive rebound percentage, 2nd in opponent free throw rate, and 5th in opponent three-point percentage. Now, the one there that I think might be the least sustainable and is a little bit fluky is opponent three-point percentage. That is, you know, I think the Nets, because they've been switching a lot to start the year in the absence of a lot of their big guys, Clacks, etc., you know, that number is what it is. I think it's something like 33.3% the opponents are shooting against them. Some of those is the nature of the teams aren't being, you know, amazing three-point shooting teams. But opponent free throw, like, because they're not getting to the free throw line because they're just making a lot of shots and they're allowed to get to the rim a little bit more, that's not great, because I'll get to that in the bad. But yeah, at least not fouling other than, you know, Nick Claxton the sort of first 5 or 10 minutes in the game last night. And defensive rebounding percentage, which we thought would be a big of an issue, has been okay. Finally, the bad, 29th in free throw attempt rate, that's in to get to the free throw line, 27th in second chance points, the offensive boards aren't leading to extra points in the paint. I think that'll get better once Cam Thomas does return, but 27th is not great. Last in opponent turnover rate, which Jacques Vaughn has alluded to, that's what the Nets can improve defensively. 29th in steals, same sort of thing. If the Nets want to get better defensively, they've got to force turnovers. They've got to get a bit more aggressive. You know, some lazy and lax sort of switches. You know, just handing, and rather than sort of like, you know, handing the man, you know, you, and I think Clacks being back will help that, but we shall see. Just a few little numbers for you guys. Maybe I went through them a little bit too quickly, but I might throw them on Twitter as well for you guys too. But lots of stuff to consider for the Nets moving forward, but it's a Nets world. The Nets are going all right. Ben Simmons, we'll see what happens with that, but Nets world, baby.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium?
Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.